Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Grave, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, where it is sunny and beautiful, as I do eat quick on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a really good show lined up for you today. We've got my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com with us today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello there. It's great to be back and great to have everybody back. It is another delicious, scrumptious day in the Ozarks.
Well, boy, oh boy, we certainly have clouds here for you to read your cloud mail today. Or your sky mail, I guess it is.
Yes. We have just a few little ones. I've gotten some interesting messages in the past few days.
Day after day, for days, we have not had any clouds. And I've been thinking about you often, so I'm glad to see that on the show today we have a few clouds in the sky.
Well, take a look and see what they tell you, Gina. I'll bet you'll get some messages, too.
You know, the funniest thing was Friday afternoon. Oh, my goodness. Friday was Good Friday. I remember growing up in the Midwest. Every single year on Good Friday, it would be stormy. It would be really gloomy. It would have this overcastness to the day that just really what made it feel like Good Friday. Since I've been down here in Florida, every single year I've been in Florida for Good Friday, we have yet to have a cloudy, rainy day. Not once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Good Friday morning, I wake up, I get my umbrella, I'm going outside to go have my cigarette. I just assumed it would be raining. I get outside, beautiful sunny day, not a single cloud in the sky. Oh, I forgot about that. So I put the umbrella away. So I come out to my table, I sit down, I start my call with Terry Talltree. The next thing I know, it's raining. And I look up, and there are no clouds above me. And yet, it is really raining. The weirdest day, Rhonda, the weirdest day.
That is really bizarre.
That isn't
it? Really, really interesting. Yes. Yeah,
but I so expected it to rain that it didn't at all surprise me that it was able to rain without any clouds.
Yeah, well, you know, you're a limitless being. What do you need clouds for, right? For that.
Yeah, right. Why?
Right, exactly. That you have.
Very interesting.
I just love that. Oh, my goodness. I just really love that. How powerful is that? Wow.
The clouds did come in later on, but when it started raining, there were no clouds around at all. It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it really is. I remember last year I had really wanted wildflowers by my house, and every year I get them, even though there's lots and lots and lots and lots of rocks. I have what I call my oasis, where right in the middle of the rocks, there's this old tree stump of the tree that I had to cut down because it was sick. And there are these beautiful wildflowers and plants that spring up right out from the rocks, right around the base of this stump. It's just really very cool. And it had been really dry for a while, and I was like, man, I really need some rain over here. I had my own personal rain cloud that came and rained for about an hour over my house, my mother's house, which is 100 feet away from me. It was dry and the sky was blue.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I mean, it was the darndest thing. It rained over my house. And there were some clouds, but they weren't necessarily gray, and there weren't really storms or anything in the area or showers. And it was just the most lovely little rain. And I got the prettiest wildflowers after that. So, and it's just really beautiful. I've already had a bunch of volunteer trees that came up because I wanted flowering bushes, and so they just sprang up. I didn't plant them. No, I didn't. Not with my hands, anyway. That's just really cool. Oh, my goodness.
Powerful manifestors we all are, right?
We are so good. We are just so good. And, but, you know, there are some, such a value of following what you want to manifest and doing that intentionally and being really careful with what you're putting out into the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you're not careful with it, you're going to get what you ask for. So you better plan it on purpose or you're going to have some very interesting things show up in your world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and also you definitely can manifest things, and you also can have intuitive warnings or hints or whatever that will guide you in such amazing ways. It's just really, really powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely is. So we had an interesting thing happen yesterday. I was planning to go out with my mom to go and hit the after Easter candy sales and at Walmart and do a little shopping and things like that. And I have Molly mostly retired, but I thought, well, we're just stopping at Walmart. I'll bring her. And I'm glad I didn't say anything to her because I just had this hunch, no, you better leave her. And I went, okay, so I trust the hunch. So we get up on the bridge, and a split second before it happens, I go, oh, we're about to get rear-ended. And this woman plows into us 40 miles an hour full steam twice.
Oh, no.
And an older lady wanted to say her brakes had given out, which I would believe, except that she very gently rolled up behind the cop car and stopped without any problem. So I don't know. But so I'm so glad I didn't have the dog. We are fine. And hopefully that was a sufficient wake-up call to that lady. Traffic had then stopped because we're having road work, and there were signs and, you know, police and all those things keeping the traffic flowing first one side and then the other because it's a two-lane. So, boy, the power of paying attention is really important. We ended up dragging her bumper from the car, the whole front piece of it, dragging it the rest of the way across the bridge and over to where we were going to stop and deal with the police and the insurance and all that bit.
Wow. But
yeah.
You guys are both okay?
We are fine, and I'm glad Molly wasn't in the car because there would have been, I'm sure she would have been hurt. There'd be nothing I could have done to stop her, you know, getting
right.
hurt. So just really glad, especially her being an old dog. And, like, I was the minute with that car hit, I went, oh, thank you for that intuition. I'm so happy I paid attention and I was tuned in because my first instinct would have been to try to protect the dog, and I probably would have been hurt as well trying to do that. But it happens so fast, but your instinct is always to protect the dog. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, thank goodness you guys are okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It certainly put a damper on our plans yesterday, but at least nothing major. There will be some damage to the car, but no windows broken. Nobody was hurt. I don't think the woman was hurt either. And hopefully now she'll know that she really needs to be putting her attention on where she is moving forward, because otherwise you really can get hit with something you don't expect.
Yep. Very, very, very true. Very good lesson in that.
Yes, it definitely is. So I see that our guest is still MIA.
That's interesting.
So that happens every once in a while. But anyway,
do you have a phone number for her? If you do, I can give her a three-way.
Yes, I believe I do. Talk for a minute to everybody about something while I get her phone number, because I can't do that and talk at the same time.
Oh, you're too funny, Rhonda. Too funny. You know, everything happens in the perfect way, at the perfect time, etc. And, you know, weird, quirky things like guests not showing up really do happen from time to time. And there's nothing you can do about it. It certainly always happens for a reason, and I love learning what that reason is later on, because there's always a good story in it.
Mm-hmm.
Rhonda and I both are very much in tune with that kind of thing.
Yes,
let me see if I can find maybe Miss Terry Taltry, who might have access to our guest for today. And if we don't find her in a few minutes, Rhonda and I can wing it ourselves.
We'll have a good time in any case. Yeah, I do have her number somewhere, evidently not where I thought it was. So.
Hang on, I'll see if Terry has it handy.
So while Gina is typing frantically away over there.
I know.
There really are such amazing wonders and amazing signs. It's simply a matter of first being aware, picking up your head, looking around. We've talked a lot lately in some of the past few shows about just the miraculous things that come into your life, and it all starts with being open and looking around, looking ahead of you, paying attention, and simply noticing what is there. It's pretty effortless, but it's a matter of mastering yourself enough to cause your attention to go where you want it to go, as opposed to letting your mind wander and do its own thing like an out of control toddler. That's pretty amazing. And there's really been some interesting things going on. I know that I know someone who had an experience with a computer that she was complaining about that all of a sudden miraculously just died, and she had to have a new one, which is what she wanted in the first place. So those things definitely do happen when you open yourself and start to notice what's there. When you ever have an intuitive hunch, there's a reason. And I have literally lost count of times in the past, just the past 3 days, you know, basically over the weekend and yesterday, that where I had a thought or an intuition, I was thinking about somebody and they called or they emailed, or I was wondering how one person was doing with his book. Next thing, he calls me and says, "Hey, Rhonda, I'm done with my book. With the first draft, I'm getting ready to publish." And he asked me a question. And I thought, I like that. All I have to do is go, well, this is the answer that I would like. And voila, it shows up. It's very cool.
Oh, I just spoke with Miss Lori Falk, our guest. And Lori was prepared to be on the show on the 17th and not on the 10th.
Oh, well, that can work. That's perfect. See, how cool
awesome.
Is that? Tell her she can do that. That's fine.
Well, she's got she was in the middle of a meeting, so she definitely could not join us today. But
no,
she is definitely
okay.
going to be here next week to talk about Wisdom of the Angels, which should be a really great call.
I can't wait. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, yay. Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So, yeah, so anyway, I was just, sharing a little bit while you were gone, Gina, about that power of being awake and aware and noticing and having amazing things come into your life. And I was thinking about our friend Michael Craig.
Mm-hmm.
TheLogicalSoul.com. And I knew that he was working on a book. And yesterday I was sitting there thinking, I wonder how Michael's coming with his book. It wasn't 10 seconds later my phone rang and it's Michael Craig. And I went, thank you. That figures. Ask and you shall receive. It was just delivered right there. He called me and he goes, I got a quick question for you. I'm almost done with my book and blah, blah, blah. So he asked me his question. I'm like, oh, now I have that update.
Too funny.
It's just so funny. I love when things like that. And then I was thinking about Kenan Fort, and I hadn't talked to him in a couple of weeks, a couple of quick messages, but hadn't really connected very strongly. And so next thing I know, he instant messages me and says, I was just thinking about you. I hadn't talked to you in a while, and I thought I should say hi. And I'm like, oh, well, I like that. That's really cool. We'll just keep it rolling. So,
too funny.
Happened. Yeah, and that's really when you get into that flow. And I just, the main thing is I remember to say thank you when those things happen. And, wow, I'm glad I was awake, and I'm so appreciative for that contact, that message, whatever, and I was thinking about our friend Rhonda Court the other day, and I thought, I'm going to call Rhonda in about 5 minutes when I'm done with this thing. And all of a sudden, quite before I'm done, she Skype calls me.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I do have something we could talk about today.
Good for you. Go for it.
So yesterday, well, no, let me back up. Over the weekend, I had a very interesting conversation with Andrea Wolf from IgniteYourLifeBook.com.
Excellent.
As you know, Andrea is a part of the ambassador community on HowToLiveOnPurpose.com, which means that the articles that publish to the IgniteYourLifeBook.com site automatically show up on How to Live on Purpose and Ignite Your Life book. And the whole point of the articles on Andrea's blog is that that's what's supposed to help her drive some traffic to her website that then causes people to find her book, buy her book, and eventually find their way into her coaching program. So we were talking about what she's doing in her business, et cetera. And I asked the question, well, how much traffic are you getting? Andrea tells me, well, I'm not getting very much traffic because I haven't been blogging for several months, but I'm about to get back to it. I said, well, that's okay. I know you haven't been blogging recently, but you have a lot of stuff on your site. She's got over 200 articles, maybe even 300 articles. I said, it's going to be driving some traffic. How much traffic are you getting? Oh, I'm not getting traffic. It's really not very much at all. So I said, well, would it be okay if I went and looked at your stats? Okay, she says, but she's really reluctant, you can tell. So I go to look at her stats. She's getting almost 80 to 100 visitors a day. She had
That's
no clue cool. that she was getting 80 to 100 visitors a day.
Mm.
41% of her traffic is coming from the organic search engine results that she's getting. Awesome, right?
Oh, love that, love that.
So now she's excited because she actually is getting people to come to her site. But then she thinks about it for a few minutes, and she's like, oh, but that makes me feel even worse. And I said, well, why not? Why? She says, well, if there's people coming to the site, shouldn't they be, like, opting in or buying something? And I said, well, yeah, that would be kind of nice. She says, well, I assumed I had no traffic because no one is either opting in or buying something. So I just assume no one's getting there. If there's people getting there and they're not buying and they're not opting in, that's even worse. So I said, well, what is it that they're doing on the site? Would they be doing things that could cause them to opt in or buy? Or are they getting to places that just wouldn't be likely to happen? So she says, I don't know. How do you figure that out? So I said, well, let's go into your Google Analytics, not in your dashboard, but literally go to google.com/analytics, and let's go see what the data tells us. We had such a blast doing that. So one of the tools that I love to look at is called Visitors Flow. You'll find it when you log into your analytics, go to your website in analytics. When we looked at her analytics Visitors Flow, we see that there's a ton of traffic that happens to be coming to her opt-in page, but that's the first page that they're visiting. And I'm like, well, I understand totally why they're not opting in. They're starting on your website on the opt-in page when they don't know you, they have no idea what you've got to offer, and why the heck would they even want to opt in at that point? You want them to come to other places first before they get to the opt-in page, because then they're going to be more likely to actually opt in. She said, well, what's causing them to start on that page? I said, search me. Let's go figure that out. When we started looking at what was bringing them to that page, it was hysterical. Almost 100% of the people hitting the opt-in page as their first page were coming from Hungary. And Andrea's like, why the heck would people from Hungary be coming to my site? I'm not doing anything to make that happen. Well, we have a little group within my community that is trying to improve their Alexa rankings. one of the people that's working in that group actually lives in Hungary. And it turned out that it was the person in Hungary trying to raise the Alexa rank that kept coming in to the opt-in page. Oh! So if we got rid of that part and then looked for people not from Hungary coming to the opt-in page, turned out in the last month there were only a total of 4 other people that got to the opt-in page. Now it's no longer very surprising why the heck people aren't opting in. They're not getting to the opt-in page in the first place.
Right.
So I said, well, tell me how people would find their way to your opt-in page. She thought about it. She says, I don't know. So I said, well, let's go look at the site and find out. So in her sidebar, she's got an opt-in form that says, sign up and get your free newsletter. There's no link to take you to the opt-in page. There's just a form right there. The only thing it tells them is they're going to sign up to get a free newsletter. In actuality, when they sign up, they actually get a free chapter of her book. They get a few other things. They don't just get a newsletter.
Right.
So I said, you know, maybe we could actually put down what they really do get. And maybe include a link to the opt-in page so they could find out even more about what they're going to get.
Uh-huh.
Well, when we went to go and put the info into the form just to test it, it turned out her form didn't work.
Oh, no.
And if I went to the link that she was using to on purpose send people to her opt-in page, she had changed the order of the pages and didn't update her redirection links that would take them to the opt-in page. So if I tried to go to her opt-in page, I'd get a 404 error.
Oh, brother.
Now, we go through all of that. We get that fixed. Now they can really get to the...
Yeah. I hope so. I hope we got everything fixed. And is it all, is the flow working now? Did she fix her redirect link? Uh-oh. I'm not hearing Gina. And I'm not sure if that means we're not broadcasting or... Yeah, she's gone. Okay, so we have lost Gina. I just figured out what happened. Let me message her.
Sorry about that. I'm back.
Oh, here she goes. Okay.
Don't know what happened there. Anyway, so we make all the changes. Now when they go to the opt-in page, they actually get to the opt-in page. Now when they fill out the form, it actually works. So then Andrea says, well, that's great. Now at least I know why they weren't opting in. But could you look and figure out why they're not buying? So I said, well, sure, we'll do the same thing. First thing I do is I ask, what page would they be able to buy your book from? So she tells me, I put it in the address bar. Yeah, can't guess what I get to, can you, Rhonda?
I bet it's a 404 page.
I bet it's another 404 page.
Wah, 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 wah.
It turns out she's had over 380 people in the last month who have clicked on that link, and all they could get to was a 404 error page. Not to a place that they could buy something. Makes it just a little bit difficult to get sales if you can't get people to your sales page, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a little hard to buy something if you can't get there. And, you know, it's funny, things do happen. I sometimes get a message from somebody that, you know, whatever didn't work right, it went somewhere else or any of those things. So it's really great to have tools like the redirections plugin and other things. But it's a real masterful effort of stewardship to keep up with everything.
It really is. So the message in this is once a month, make sure that you go and test, even if you've done it before, your opt-in forms, the link to your opt-in page, the order buttons, and the link to the sales pages. If you aren't testing that once a month, there's a good chance that something that used to work could have broken. Not on purpose did you break it, but very often, just little tweaks that you make cause things to stop working so well. So once we looked at the opt-in page and the sales page and we got it all fixed, then we started looking at her search engine rankings. Was she getting ranked in search? Where was her traffic coming from? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Andrea had done a ton of keyword research about a year ago. But since then, she's not really repeated the keyword research. She just assumed that if the keywords were good once, they should be good now.
Right.
As we started looking at this, I cannot tell you how drastically different the values are today versus a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Almost
mm-hmm.
every single keyword that she was focused on using really has so much competition now that she's not likely to get ranked for it. And most of them, while they had a good amount of demand before, somewhere along the way, the demand dried up and no one is looking for those words anymore.
Well,
and
look at how things changed in the life purpose stuff for the talk.
Oh, big time, right? Big time.
Perfect example. Can you mention to people now that there were some words like purpose in life and life purpose and, you know, whatever words relevant to that issue. How did things change?
Yeah, and it's not enough to just look at the words you're using in your articles.
Right.
You need to look both at the words you're using in your articles and, even more importantly, the words you're using as your categories.
Mm-hmm.
So because of Andrea's involvement in How to Live on Purpose, I started looking at this exact thing on both Ignite Your Life book and How to Live on Purpose. My category on the How to Live on Purpose site is under Mind /business/ starting-a-business. It's
right.
a category, but it's also a keyword that we very much wanted to focus on. When we looked at it last year, about 14, 15 months ago, starting a business on Google with quotes around it when you weren't logged in had about 2.5 million competing pages. Today, that same keyword has 39.4 million competing search results.
Wow, wow, wow.
There is no way in heck, no matter how much content we have, that we can compete with 39.4 million search results. If we got even one first or second page ranking, it would be a miracle. And there's no way we're going to dominate search results with that many competing pages.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I realized was a year ago, starting a business had about 25,000 searches a month. Today, while the competition grew drastically, the demand is totally gone. It went down to about 3,200 searches a month.
Wow.
Amazing, right? Amazing. There are about 800 posts in my category, and it's not ranking anywhere in the first 15 pages of search results on Google. If I instead go repeat my keyword research, instead of starting a business, starting a home business,
uh-huh.
a year ago, starting a home business had less than 2,000 searches a month. Today, starting a business has 54,300 searches a month, starting a home business.
Wow.
And it gets even better. If I go and look at starting a home business on Google, let me go type it in properly, starting a home business, put quotes around it, make sure I'm not logged in, there are only 568,000 competing search results instead of 36.4 million.
Wow.
That is so huge. I could end up getting as much as 8,100 unique visitors a month just from that one keyword, starting a home business. Wow. This is a beautiful example of how drastically keywords change over time. It's really amazing how things work. As starting a business started getting more and more demand, people started noticing it and started using it more frequently.
Right.
So there's a lag that happens. The demand happens first, then the competition increases, and as the competition increases, once it gets to around 10 to 15 million search results, it almost always causes a decrease in the demand. The reason that happens is what happens in a normal market correction. Initially, you're the first one in your niche. You're the only one in your niche. There's really not very much demand there when you first start. As you start moving forward and you start reaching people, you're going to start seeing the demand increase because people are now becoming aware of what you do. But as you get the awareness, the demand to increase, competition is going to spring up. Your competition really pays attention for the most part. So a few months after the demand starts to increase, the competition starts to increase. But as the competition increases, it starts getting tougher and tougher and tougher to compete in a way that really is serving. So your competitors start competing on things like price. Well, they can do that successfully for a short time. But at some point, prices are going to start dropping so much that the quality actually starts dropping too, because you can't produce a quality product if it's costing you money.
Right.
As the quality starts to diminish, it actually starts to cause the demand to diminish too. And before you know it, there's a ton of competition, 39.4 million competing pages, a ton of competition. And by that point, because the quality is so bad, the demand goes away. This is a normal market correction type of cycle. It happens in every niche. There isn't a single one that is immune to it. It's always a lag. Demand starts to grow before the competition does. Then as the competition starts to reach that saturation point, demand starts to dry up. It's a big reason for redoing keyword research constantly. Don't ever stop. Make a plan that says at least once a quarter, you're going to go out and re-research your keywords, both your category keywords and your blog post keywords. As you start to see the competition increasing, know that it's getting to a point that the demand could start dropping off too. Be proactive about it. Start anticipating what the demand is going to shift to, and you can always stay ahead of your competition and not have to deal with competing on price.
Right.
So it's really a big, big deal. If I go through every single one of the categories that have content on how to live on purpose, there are probably only 4 or 5 out of about 15 to 20 that still are really good value keywords. Almost all of the others either have way too much competition now, or it's already past the saturation point and the demand has started to dry up.
Interesting how that happens, isn't it?
It really is. Really, really is. And, you know, one of the things that we also recognized as I was doing this research the last 2 days was one of the single best tools for getting your stuff to rank well in the search engines is called My Instant Glossary. It's a WordPress plugin. Rhonda uses it on ProfitableStorytelling.com. Andrea uses it on IgniteYourLifeBook.com. How to Live on Purpose uses it as well. The way that the glossary works, it was designed originally as an SEO tool. You want to use it to help serve your readers by creating definitions of terms that they're likely to be interested in. but you also want to use it to help improve your search engine rankings too. So every single word that you want to get ranked for in search should actually be a word that is in your glossary. When you put a word in your glossary, every time you use that exact same word in either a blog post or a page, My Instant Glossary will automatically attach a link to the content in the post or the page that is the keyword that's in the glossary. That link will go from the post to the glossary. When it comes into the glossary, it actually brings you to a terms page where you see the word, a definition at the top, followed by a list of all of the posts that mention that word. You want to make sure that the glossary definition is optimized from an SEO perspective, because that link is going to go from the post to the glossary term, from the glossary term to the tag. So WordPress creates a tag, like howtoliveonpurpose.com/tag/abundance-and-prosperity. That's your tags page. And then from the tags page, it then links out to every single article in that's used that tag. If you don't optimize the glossary definition in a way that really uses SEO, it's not going to get you much better search results at all. But if you really do spend some time optimizing the word in the glossary, it is the fastest, easiest way to get first or second page rankings on Google, no matter how much competition there is for your keyword. So as I looked at How to Live on Purpose yesterday, I realized that most of the keywords that were being used in blog posts were actually listed in the glossary, but only two out of all of the categories were actually words that were used in the glossary. Even your category and my category, we didn't list the word in the glossary at all. We have inspirational stories, but not inspirational thoughts.
That's really bizarre, because I remember writing that description and putting it in there, so that's very strange to me.
You know, it's really funny because I actually remember mine, too, and it's not in there.
I do, actually, and I was looking at it, and I went, why didn't inspirational thoughts light up? Because I put an extra one of it so it could light up on How to Live on Purpose, since my post is pulled in there. And I haven't had the time to go and look. I was like, I need to go and look. I know I wrote that description. I still have that file.
I still have the one for starting a business, too, and neither one of those are words that are in the glossary.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Amazing. Oh. Really, really amazing. And, you know, for categories, your category is usually going to get better search engine rankings than the terms in the articles themselves. And here's why that happens. If you go to a category on your website, let's say you went to howtoliveonpurpose.com/category/spirit/inspirational-thoughts. That's a category page that WordPress creates. Every single article in that category is going to show up on that page. But what shows up is just the first few lines, maybe even the first couple paragraphs. Usually below that, it's the tags. So if you're using your keyword in the body at the top of your article in the first couple paragraphs, it's going to show up right there on that category page. Because the category has so much more content to it than any individual post does, there's all the posts, right? And because that content is all relevant to the term that is the category, it really causes better search engine rankings to happen. So on category keywords, even if there's a little bit more competition, you can usually compete with it because you've got all that content within the category to help you do that. The glossary, though, can actually outrank the category. And if you're putting a keyword in as a category and then also including the keyword in your glossary, that gives you two potential entries for that keyword in the search results, one for the category, one for the glossary terms page.
Right. And if you use it in your post, it helps even more.
Even better, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're
which
never,
so
ever trying to get just a single high search engine ranking on Google. It doesn't help you enough. Your
right.
goal is to dominate the search engines and get as many entries as you can to somehow point back to you. So if you can use your category and your glossary terms page and then some of your posts to all use that keyword that is also your category, you really can start to better dominate the search results. If you
mm-hmm.
can then do things like leave comments on other people's sites, instead of linking your comment just to your blog post, sometimes link your comment to your glossary terms page, sometimes link it to your category. By doing that, you really will end up with a better dominating effect in the search results. Very, very interesting to explore yesterday.
Oh, absolutely.
So
really
I was going
is.
To hold a call this Thursday at 10 a.m. to talk about this exact thing, how to use My Instant Glossary to do a better job of really dominating the search engines, how to use My Instant Glossary to get a higher search engine ranking, and really how to use My Instant Glossary in a way that gets better conversions to happen. But as
uh-huh.
I saw this yesterday, this was kind of late in the day yesterday, as I saw this happening on both Ignite Your Life book and How to Live on Purpose, or better, not happening is a better way of saying it.
Yeah, I was going to say, not happening is more to the point, yeah.
I decided to postpone the call from this Thursday to next Thursday. What I'm going to do today is actually go in and better optimize the terms in the glossary, make sure that all of the categories are defined in the glossary, make sure that all of the glossary definitions are highly optimized from an SEO perspective, that all of those that are also categories have an image and a call to action in it. Then I'm going to ping the search engines at the end of the day to go and find all of the updated glossary listings. If I postpone the call until a week from Thursday, I'll actually be able to show people in the webinar the effect of what I'm doing today in terms of both search engine rankings and traffic. So I'm really looking forward to doing that call next week. That's going to be an amazing call for everyone to see, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's
if you
want to, really
if you want to plan on being there, this Thursday at 10 a.m., I am starting an 8-week-long series of webinars. Every Thursday, 10 a.m. Probably most calls will be 90 minutes. There might be a few that go 2 hours. I'm going to try and really keep them to 90 minutes if possible. Every week for 8 straight weeks, I will be doing a different topic pertaining to blogging, all of it designed around both traffic and conversions instead of just focusing on traffic. This week, I'm going to be looking at how to use My Instant Theme for Business, which I know you're also using, Rhonda.
Oh, I love that, yes.
It makes it so easy to create a blog that really looks good, but without having to go hire a designer to do it for you. Rhonda, use it. How easy is it to use that theme?
So here's the thing with My Instant Theme for Business. Remember that for people who don't know or just don't think about it, I am mostly blind.
That's why I'm asking the question.
Right. I'm mentioning it so our listeners know. So I'm mostly blind. I use speech technology to access the computer, or I enlarge the screen. It just depends on what kind of a device I'm on at the moment doing it. And it's very easy because the very funny thing is I had a couple of people who bought the theme through my affiliate link, and I have created a tutorial for people who buy it, from me. And they love the tutorial. And so here it is, the blind person is showing them how to get their theme set up. But it's really within maybe 30 minutes or so, if you have an idea what you want the colors to look like and some of the things ahead of time especially, you can just go in there and boom, get it set up really quickly. Put all your social networks in there, customize everything, get the fonts the way you want, and all these different things that you can control. Get that home page looking the way you want. Oh, it's such an awesome, awesome theme. I love it.
It really is. And the whole reason that this is the theme that both Rhonda and I really recommend is that with this particular theme, it causes better conversions than anything else I've ever used. And I've used a lot of themes over the years. The reason that it improves conversions is because what it really does is it improves engagement. Google especially really pays attention to the traffic that you get to your website, not just the traffic that's coming from Google, the traffic coming from any place at all, whether that's from Facebook, from emails, from Google, from Yahoo, from any sources. Google's watching to see what people do on your website. If people are only coming in, reading one article, and leaving, that really tells Google that they aren't loving what they're seeing on the site enough to actually go and check more stuff out. Google wants you to help them do a better job of serving their searchers. Serving their searchers is hard to measure. How do you know if you're serving their searchers well or not? The only thing they can use to measure it is things like how many pages do people read on your site for each visit? How long do they stay on your site for each visit? How many clicks do they make? Do they come and leave within a second or do they stay for several minutes? All of them are measures of what's called engagement. The more engaged your traffic is, the more likely they are to opt in and buy. And for the first time in history, because this really is important to Google, if you're driving traffic that is highly engaged from anything, Facebook, emails, anything, it really does cause your search engine rankings to also improve because Google sees it as something that will serve their searchers. They're more willing to give you that boost in search engine rankings and traffic. So this particular theme causes a lower bounce rate than anything I have ever seen in my life by a long shot. Until this theme, I'd never seen a bounce rate of under 30% in my life. With this theme, I have dozens of sites that are getting under a 10% bounce rate. I think yours was one of the bounce rates that had a drastic improvement with the theme, wasn't it, Rhonda?
That and Bounce Rate Eliminator helped it a lot, yes.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. The other thing that we see with this theme is people are much more likely to view 4 to 5 page views instead of 1 to 2 page views. It takes 4 to 5 page views before someone trusts you enough to actually buy something from you. If your theme can help you get 4 to 5 page views, you'll have a whole lot more sales than you would with any other theme. So this whole idea of using My Instant Theme for Business, while it started out as it's a great theme because it's easy, it doesn't require a lot of technical experience, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars on a web designer to make your site look really good, it really has a lot of benefits that go way beyond just those. And really what it does more than anything is that it will absolutely make it possible to get conversions from your traffic, whether that means conversions to subscribers or conversions to sales or a combination of both. So this Thursday will be My Instant Theme for Business. Next Thursday we'll talk about using My Instant Glossary so that it's a plugin. It actually helps improve engagement levels even more and really makes it easy to get into the first couple of pages of search results, regardless of what keyword you're using. Then we'll do a few more calls after that that cover a whole variety of both traffic and conversions topics using WordPress blogs.
So how do people sign up for these webinars with you, Gina?
Really good question. The opt-in page for the webinar is not up quite yet. It should be up sometime tonight. I would say sign up for the 30-day IM challenge. Everyone in the challenge will be getting notified about it, so you will absolutely get the email message. I would go to 30dayimchallenge.com, get signed up in there, and watch for the email that comes out late tonight or tomorrow morning to tell you how to get onto the webinar on Thursday.
Perfect. That's really great. So the link for the 30-day I Am Challenge that they need to go to?
30-day, the number 30-day, IAmChallenge.com. 30-day, IAmChallenge.com.
That is terrific. Well, it sounds like you're going to be doing some terrific webinars, and I know for the next couple Thursdays I have my dad in town, so I won't be there, but certainly if you want to use anything on my site as an example, feel free, and if I can do anything ahead of time to help you, let me know.
I'm really glad you said that, because you've got some really great search engine rankings happening as a result of your glossary, as a result of some of the articles, et cetera. I absolutely plan on using some of your stuff as examples on those calls.
Great. Well, sorry that I won't be there, but I've got my dad coming, and, you know, people are the greatest commodity we have in our lives. So
they really are, aren't they?
And to be with him, he's so awesome. Yes, absolutely. And so I will be there. But, yes, feel free to do that, and if you need me to record a little audio or something for you, I can do that before Thursday if that would help.
For this week, I probably don't need one. I can grab the clips that you just gave us from the show.
Okay, that's fine.
But for the following week, I would love to get one about the glossary and what it helps you with.
Glossary, sure. I will do that for you. I will get it set up, and I'll get it sent over to you this week. So.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Well, my pleasure, of course. I love
and, you
glossary.
Know,
love, yeah.
On the glossary call, I will absolutely be showing folks how to do keyword research the right way.
Oh, yeah.
Because, boy,
it's so important.
It is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's really easy to get caught up in seeing the word and the amount of traffic or the phrase and going, oh, that would be great. And I remember one person used focus on the family thinking, oh, great, you know, it's about families, and that should be the greatest keyword in the world. And I said to her, do you know focus on the family is? It's not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just a matter of, was that going to bring you the right audience? Or would people come to see that and go, this isn't for us. Why is this here?
And the same person used also choose your own change. Choose your own change is a keyword that's being searched for by people who are looking for sex change operations, not for people trying to find a way to live their life on purpose.
Right.
And same thing. It was certainly not bringing her the right audience at all.
Right. Nothing against people who are doing that. It's a matter of, is the phrase attracting the right audience, right?
And so many people just don't get keyword research at all. In this last week, I've talked to 4 different people who were like, oh, I found this awesome keyword. It has 42 million competing pages on Google. Why is that an awesome keyword?
That's awesome. That just means it's chum-filled bloody water.
Yeah. And so many people really think that if there's a lot of competing pages on Google, that's telling you that there's a lot of people that want what that word is. It's not at all what it's saying. It's telling you that there's a lot of competition on Google for that keyword. You actually have to go do separate research to figure out how many people are actually searching for that word.
Yeah. Think of it as supply and demand. So what you see
is
42 million results on Google. That is the supply. That is not the demand. That is just who is putting out stuff around that word or phrase, right? And that's what people need to remember. Is this supply or demand? And if you do think that it's demand for the right people, is it bringing you the right audience? Someone else has used author's purpose as a keyword going, oh, this sounds really great because author's purpose, and she's kind of into helping people live their purpose. And I'm like, that's for school children?
Yep.
And it's not that I love school children. I get school kids on my site because I do sometimes talk about metaphors and similes and things that kids end up talking about in school. So I do get the researching children, and that's okay. But I'm not optimizing for those things because that's not my intended audience, right?
Exactly.
And so the same author's purpose. It's you're going to get school kids doing research for their papers. they're talking about the author's purpose in who was the author of a book or a short story. What was the purpose of that author in writing that story?
One of the people that had come to me thinking that the demand was what you see when you look at the number of search results on Google has a site called menopausecoach.com. If we look at just the word menopause, there's like 41 or 42 million competing pages. And if I look at the actual demand, how many searches there are per month, there's 33,840 searches per month. Okay, well, how much traffic could you get to your site if there's 41 million competing pages?
Well,
more than likely, you're not even going to get 1% of the total number of searches per month. You might get 338 visitors a month from it. That's about it.
Well, I doubt it. Maybe. Yeah. And the thing is, that's such a broad term. It's so broad. Menopause, somebody searching that could be looking for anything. They could be looking for symptoms, herbal remedies. I mean, any number of things that they might want with just menopause. It's so broad.
Yeah. So if I look at that keyword on a keyword tool like ClickAd Equalizer or askggg.com/free-keyword-tool. If I put in menopause, it's going to come back and tell me all the other words that use menopause that might be better keywords for me. One of the other terms that it gives me is menopause symptoms. Menopause symptoms has 13,050 searches per month instead of 33,000 searches per month. So a bit less demand, but it only has 1.7 million competing pages instead of 41 or 42 million competing pages. Even though it's only about a third of the demand, it could actually generate 652 visitors a month instead of 338 visitors a month because you really can get better search engine rankings from it. So you really need to do some work mathematically to figure out not how many searches there are, which is how much the demand is, not how many search results there are, which is how much supply or competition there is. You need to know for each and every keyword how much traffic could that bring you. That's the only thing you care about. Renee did a really neat thing and put together a little Excel spreadsheet that will actually calculate how many visitors can you get from this keyword. If you go to aboutspirit.com/DU spreadsheet for D for directions, U for university spreadsheet, aboutspirit.com/DU spreadsheet. Just put the numbers in and it'll calculate and tell you how much traffic each keyword can get you. Do that in advance of the calls that I'm doing on Thursdays, and boy, it should really help a lot in helping you get better results for your business.
That's great. That's a wonderful tool to have, and it really helps you figure it out, see how much traffic you're likely to get. Because it's really important to look at the demand, look at the supply, and then make sure to really research the word and make sure that the word is an audience fit for you. So there's actually three elements of that beyond supply and demand. It's really making sure that you're not getting the audience who is not your ideal audience.
Exactly. So with that, we will be back next week with Lori Falk here on Blog Talk Radio on Relationship Marketing 101. Thanks so much for today, Rhonda.
That was great. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.